Hey folks, this is Victor Diaz talking to you. Hopefully your day is going well, and if you're like me, you're probably listening to this while driving or exercising or maybe just using this to fall asleep. The possibilities are endless. Anyways, without further ado, the topic for today's show is DACA. Now, before I get more in depth, I want to introduce the listeners to lovely people that are here as well. One of them is a dear friend of mine, Naomi Oi. Naomi, how are you today?
Hey Victor, I'm okay. Very eager to talk about DACA and the positives and negatives of it.
Well, that's why you're here, and I appreciate the help. Now, also with us is a DACA recipient who I'm delighted to have here. Rosie, it's great to have you here, and thank you for taking some time off for this.
Hi guys, how are you? Thank you for having me here.
Now, Rosie, I know you're the mother of two really sweet kids, but you also work as a medical assistant for a primary care physician, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh wow, you must be worried sick with this whole outbreak going on, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's been rough, especially since I have to be extra careful. So even if I end up contracting the virus from a patient, I don't have to put my kids or my family at risk. It's very hard.
I cannot believe to imagine the level of stress and fear that puts on you. And to make matters worse, you're also constantly in fear of the possibility of your work and driving permit being taken away from you as well, as you could be deported back to your home country in Peru, right? Now, for the listeners who may not be in the loop, there is a case in the Supreme Court currently, and its repercussions could dictate the lives of hundreds of thousands of DACA recipients and other dreamers. Naomi, care to elaborate?
Certainly. The Supreme Court has in its hands the job to determine whether Trump can end DACA or if it's unconstitutional to rescind it. Just a little refresher, DACA, or the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, was an executive order put in place by Obama in 2012. An executive order can be undone by the future president at any given time, and Trump decided to do so in 2017. However, this action is currently being disputed in the Supreme Court.
And let me just add to that, all the requirements a person has to go through to qualify for this program, just so the listeners are aware of all the hoops and processes we go through. First, each recipient had to show that they've been in the US since June 2007 and that they're still present here. Secondly, they have to be 30 years old or younger as of June 2012. Arrived in the US before they were 16, and they had to be at least 15 years old at the time of the first application. Furthermore, the recipient had to be enrolled in or graduated from high school or at least have a GED program, or like they call it, a GED diploma. Also, be honorably discharged veteran from the armed forces. Finally, they had to have no convictions for any felony. No significant misdemeanor or several minor misdemeanors.
Thus, DACA has affected the lives of almost 700,000 people residing in the US. Now, let's just talk about what rescinding DACA could mean. In a worst-case scenario, which seems to be the only thing that this administration does, these recipients would be stripped away of their workers permit, driving permit, and higher education opportunities. Oh, and did I mention that they would all have to be deported back to their home countries? And I say that rhetorically because for all these people, the only home they have is right here in this country. They have worked so hard to feel safe and at home here, and all that can be taken away from them. Rosie, I'm sure that this is a fear you know all too well.
Yeah, Victor, as a mother of two kids, that's something that I really, really, I'm really scared about. Just to think I'm not going to be here for my kids, it kills me. Not just that, also the fact that let's say I get deported. I don't see myself over there back in my country. It's been 20 years since I came from my country, and I don't know anything. I don't see
Do
myself
you
back there.
remember anything from Peru?
I really don't. The only people I can remember is my grandfather. That's
And
all I have over there. I have my whole family here. I have my mom, my dad, my brother, my kids, my husband. That's my whole life is here, Victor.
Of course, man. This is going on for so many hardworking people in the US whose only crime was arriving to the country illegally as minors.
Yes, but you make it seem as if Trump hasn't tried to support DACA recipients. It's Congress's fault for not complying to what he asked.
You're referring to him practically tying a noose on Democrats' neck by intimidating them to pay for his infamous $5 billion wall?
Look, all I'm saying is Congress had an opportunity to help the Dreamers, and instead they choked, and now we're facing this problem.
Yes, well, sadly, we're all choking on some depressing outcome from the federal government nowadays. We're living in a time where there is barely any bipartisan work being done to try to make laws happen. And we all know Trump's history against immigrants and the so-called shithole countries. This gridlock was going to be to happen sooner or later, and now the Supreme Court has to figure out how to deal with it. So, Naomi, you have with you several conservative perspectives over this issue. So I figured let's spend the remainder of our time talking about these and addressing them one by one to see if we can make sense of this whole issue, and so the listeners are well aware of the topic at hand.
I agree. This is a complex issue for many reasons, but I have with me some of the most important in my opinion. So to start off, the first argument over why DACA should be undone is due to it incentivizing an increase in illegal immigrants.
Ah, illegal immigration. A topic Fox News viewers hear at least 3 or 4 times a day. They just mask it with cute words like invasion and aliens. Okay, so how exactly does DACA incentivize an increase in illegal immigrants?
Well, the argument made by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia is that DACA contributed to the surge of families and unaccompanied minors entering the U.S. illegally.
Well, let's analyze the facts, shall we? First, like Rosie mentioned, to be eligible for DACA, you have to have entered the US before being 16, and you have had to live in the country continuously since June 2007. Hence, no one entering now or even in 2012 when the policy was implemented by the Obama administration can apply for it. Now, let's analyze this so-called surge that Chairman Goodlatte of Virginia has so notoriously outlined. David Beer, an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute, did a great job analyzing and disproving this. For those of you who are aware of his leniencies, the Cato Institute tends to lean on the right-wing side when it comes to political perspective. Anyways, Mr. Beer analyzed the so-called increase in migrant children when DACA was announced, and the increase occurred entirely in the months before Obama announced the policy. The rate of increase also remained the same in 2013 as it was in 2012. This idea is blinded by the fact it doesn't make note of the increasing violence, crime, and homicides between 2007 and 2009 that many economists believe set off a rise in child migration from 2010 to 2012. Look, it's no secret illegal immigration is a problem, and it must be faced as quick as possible. But blaming DACA and its recipients is not the right way of dealing with it. It just seems like they're using DACA as a scapegoat.
Well, building a ridiculously expensive wall is not the solution either, if I may add.
Yeah, sadly so.
Anyway, the second argument I have here is that DACA has taken jobs from American citizens. This is an argument Jeff Sessions has said while announcing Trump's decision to undo DACA.
Look, I'm going to have to revert back to my esteemed friend Beer here. He cites the lump of labor fallacy as the key to break away this belief. This fallacy insinuates that the amount of jobs in the US economy is fixed or remains the same. Thus, an influx of immigrants will result in people losing their jobs. However, the amount of jobs is not fixed in the US. Actually, the labor force has doubled from the 70s to before this pandemic. Jeff Sessions seems to forget, when it's convenient, that we live in a free trade or open market, and capitalism thrives through competition. And DACA workers not only work, but they also buy products and services, thus helping the US industry grow.
Furthermore, I'd like to bring to light the fear that is happening in the medical care business. The AAMC, or the Association of American Medical Colleges, has predicted a shortage of up to 120,000 physicians by 2030. This is due to the population growth in the U.S., and the places that will be most affected by this are underserved urban cities. This is the area where a growing number of DACA medical students are likely to help the most, so they can aid with the culture and language barrier happening in those areas. There is an urgent need for an influx of medical students and DACA recipients, and the potential new recipients that qualify into the program can help with this. This urgent need for medical care workers has been increasingly brought to light due to COVID-19 outbreak in the US currently. Rosie, you're a medical assistant. Tell us how it felt to be able to get a higher education and to finally be allowed to work legally.
Well,
Well, personally,
personally, it was very hard. At first, I thought I was going to stay cleaning bathrooms all my life. So I'm very thankful for this DACA program. See, My parents couldn't afford to help me financially to go to college, so I decided to take a quick program, which is the medical assistant program. It was quick, price was a lot to me back then, but I was able to pay it off. Mind you, I was only cleaning offices, so my income was all to pay the medical assistant program. And to make matters worse, back then I had no car, no license, no way to move around. So, yes, I am very thankful for the DACA program. It's been helping me, and until now it's helped me a lot. It has changed my life. I don't know where I would be right now if I had no license and no way to work legally in this country.
Well, I thank you for your work and also for being here. I know it's not easy putting yourself out there and talking about these things. Sadly, we have to move on to another argument, though. The next argument is over DACA and how repealing it could benefit taxpayers. This was another argument Sessions has used against DACA.
Okay, look, I'm not gonna give this any wiggle room. This is just purely false. First of all, most DACA recipients are not eligible for any federal means-tested welfare, such as cash assistance, food stamps, Medicaid, healthcare, tax credits, or anything else. Also, as Rosie mentioned, to be eligible for DACA, you have to at least have a high school degree or the equivalent of it. 36% of the current DACA recipients who are older than 25 have a bachelor's degree. And an additional 32% are pursuing one currently. Now, the National Academy of Sciences has found that immigrants who enter the US as minors and have a high school degree are positive to the government to the tune of $60,000 to $153,000 in net present value, while the ones with a bachelor's degree have a net positive of $160,000 to $316,000 to the economy.
Yeah, so in layman's terms, DACA recipients in total have paid $4 billion in taxes to the government. Also, the US economic growth could shrink by $280 billion if DACA recipients are deported and the federal government could lose up to $60 billion. The fourth argument is regarding how repealing DACA protects communities from criminals.
Ah, yes. They're bringing their crime. They're rapists.
And some, I assume, are good people.
He assumes. That's all he seems to do, quite honestly. Assume. Look, once again, Sessions, Trump, look at the requirements. To be a participant of DACA, you must not have committed any felonies or significant misdemeanors, and applicants must have passed a background check. Also, if they're arrested while being a recipient, DACA can be taken away even without a conviction. Actually, the arrest rate for DACA recipients is 78% below the national average. This, I assume, is because for many of these recipients, the cost of committing crime is just not worth it.
Yes, well, on Twitter, Trump has said that many people in DACA are not young anymore and that some are tough, hardened criminals.
Okay, well, let's look at what exactly he means by that and how many is some. In 2018, the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, or the USCIS, published their findings regarding DACA recipients and the number of DACA recipients with an arrest. Now, keep that in mind. Arrest. That does not necessarily mean the recipients were convicted of anything or even that they committed a serious felony. Now, the report says that from 2012 to 2018, from the 770,000 people approved into DACA, almost 54,000 had a prior arrest or apprehension, and almost 8,000 had an arrest after receiving DACA. So, nearly 7% of DACA approvals had a prior arrest. Compare this to the 30% of people in the US that have an arrest record.
Yes, but in that 7% or 54,000 people, 38.9% of the arrests were due to a driving-related offense, excluding DUIs, and another 22% of the people were arrested for an immigration-related offense.
Exactly. These are offenses immigrants are committing simply by being here and/or driving without a license most of the time. This is one of the reasons why DACA was implemented, to make the lives of those dreamers much easier while still making sure that they're positive to the economy and the nation. And look, while there were recipients that have committed serious crimes, it's unfair to highlight these when the number of such offenders are so low compared to the total of people benefiting from DACA.
And that is the real truth when it comes to these so-called criminals. Okay, well, my last topic is regarding DACA's implementation. Like we said in the beginning, DACA is an executive order that former President Barack Obama created. That in itself created an unstable foundation for DACA to exist in. The risk being the next president could shut it down, and Trump did so. Repealing DACA is more than just politics. It is about making sure no president is able to make such an important decision by themselves without congressional approval.
Yes, well, this is the ugly truth. Obama tried to get his Dream Act through Congress, and it failed. He didn't have enough votes in the Senate, and instead of quitting, he gave some dreamers a fighting chance by implementing DACA. However, Trump has all the power to shut it down. We aren't psychics here. And while I wish I can tell you that the Supreme Court will help DACA recipients, there is a very, very good chance they could shut it down. That is the risk of an executive order.
Yeah, and also, if you feel a connection to the stories you read about DACA recipients and illegal immigrants, we ask you to share the stories that impacted you. Also, don't stop learning more about Dreamers and DACA. It is important to know about these politics so you aren't believing non-credible information. Lastly, if you really feel connected to this problem, we ask you to write to your fellow representatives and make your voice heard in your community.
Yes, and I know many of you think your voice does not matter. I know how sometimes the political landscape makes it seem like there is no hope sometimes. But no matter how hard or how difficult a challenge is, if you truly believe in it, do not stop until you're heard. There are thousands of dreamers in the US that are facing possible deportation. These dreamers are Americans. The only thing that makes them different from you and I is that their parents brought them here illegally when they were minors. They're here now. Many of them are proactive members of our society, and all they want is security and a place to truly call home. Rosie, Naomi, I thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Victor, for having me here and letting me share my story.
And on behalf of everyone here, we thank you for sticking around, and we bid you farewell.